Good morning.
A Tuesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. This morning, Alan, we're going to start with this. White House threatens to veto aid bill for migrant families. $4.5 billion, that is, a House bill aimed at improving the treatment of migrant families detained after crossing the U.S. southern border, saying the measure would hamstring the administration's border security efforts and raising fresh questions about the legislation's fate. We're also seeing and continue to see the treatment of migrant children and some move now.
David, is anybody surprised? I mean, this is consistent with their view, which is you make things as hard as possible for anybody who wants to come over. That's who they are. When you're thinking about children, and we know children are at great risk in this kind of thing, for those of us who have children and grandchildren and say, well, what if our little kids, our five-year-olds and our two-year-olds were there? Would that be the right thing? The answer, of course, would be no. And that's what distinguishes the Donald Trumps and the privileged people who are sitting up there and saying, let these people suffer from the rest. And it is a terror. Is there any surprise here? No, this is who they are.
President Trump is preferring sanctions to military strikes. There are new sanctions on Iran, and that's adding to the tensions.
Well, look, on the one hand, it was clear that if he did go ahead and start another war, there would be hell to pay. The Congress is saying, wait a second, the War Powers Act says we have to be included. Now, that isn't to say that there haven't been some real inconsistencies throughout these administrations on this issue. But I know Nancy Pelosi and others are insisting that the Congress be informed before a war gets started. That's why we have a War Powers Act. We're now coming to the Rubicon. We have to decide whether or not we're going to be a country of laws or whether we're going to allow one person to do whatever he wants. We know that this president is underwater in terms of the polling in all of the key states that he won in, and substantially so. The question is, what kind of an inhuman being starts a war in order to fill their own political nest? The answer is, this guy does. Now, there are those people who say, oh, well, you know, he paints himself as the guy who stopped the war from happening. Planes were in the air. Wait, what part of this doesn't work? That part is, he put all of those people in place. Those planes weren't in the air without his knowing about it. That is who this is, and he is going to play that role. So to say, I stopped it when you started it, that's a little bit much.
Referenced polls. Here's a new poll, Alan. Democrats most excited by experience in office. The sprawling Democratic presidential field is diverse, but a new poll from the APNORC, Center for Public Affairs, finds Democrats give a collective shrug to gender, race, and age as factors they're considering when supporting a candidate. Instead, Democratic registered voters, Alan, are yearning for experience in elected officials. A whopping 73% cited that as the quality that would make them more excited about supporting a presidential candidate.
Well, that's good news for people like Bernie Sanders and obviously for Joe Biden, who's older, too. So for those who say, well, I'm young, therefore I'm good, that doesn't work. For those who say any of these other properties are irrelevant except for the fact that people like what I stand for. That's very healthy. However, age does not pardon anybody. Sooner or later, we all go. So if you have a 76-year-old who is running for president, obviously, statistically, whoever the vice president is becomes very important. That's why some people like the idea of a Joe Biden-Kamala Harris ticket, because here's somebody who is really very bright, is, of course, demographically helpful, and could really say, okay, Biden serves a term, and maybe Kamala Harris, for example, serves another one. That's the way it's going to look. And then, of course, also, David, there's politics involved. Barack Obama was of color, and a lot of people came out to support him who might not have otherwise. So therefore, you've got to say, if people want representation, you've got to give it to them. And then you have to find the best possible people to do that. And that's why Harris, to me, looks like a very good bet for vice president.
Primaries today in New York, Alan. It's election day. For the first time, the primaries being held in June to align with future federal primaries. But many of us can't vote because you have to be registered in a party in New York.
It's one of the most disgusting parts of New York politics. There's no question about it. In Massachusetts, where I live, of course, you can be a non-enrolled voter and take a ballot in either election, the Republican or Democrats, each time in the primaries. Makes sense because primaries are often where the political offices are filled. So the Democrats and the Republicans in New York thought that it was a good thing to do, you know? We'll make them register in our party or they don't get a say. That's bad news. Now, there are those who disagree with me, but I don't care. It's a lousy system, and it should be changed. And so you have all of these progressives now who say, I'm a progressive. They beat their chests. They say, I'm here to liberate people. And yet, when it comes to filling their own hand, they continue to do it.
High praise from the New York Times, an editorial which says New York lawmakers showed how to get things done. Congress could learn a thing or two as well. And the conversation you had with Governor Cuomo yesterday said he didn't think enough progressive work had been done.
Well, I agree with him. Well, I'll be honest with you. I think that the Times has said, and they've printed some very good, strong articles about all the good things that have been done this time. But there are things that are left to be done, and many of them have to do, for example, with the ethics surrounding the legislature. You know, it's one thing to say, you people behave this way, but I'm going to behave a little bit differently, and I'm going to fill my own hand. And to me, some of the things that weren't done that personally affect many of these legislators is really at the top of my list for things that I think one could be disappointed about.
More political observer Alan Schartzock with us. Thanks, Alan.
And thank you, David. Always nice to talk to you.
And you.